the other the word is written, missing a vav very often, so it could theoretically be pronounced. Another way is like combination of Masiris. It's a question that can have throughout Shas as to what you do when you have contradictions between the way the Mikra sounds and the Masiris sounds, so what should that have to be? So we might have gotten into this discussion because of the word Yashir. The Torah says, Yashir, Yashir, Nalim, Yashir, Shnayar, Eyo, so Yashir is called not above. So my point is whether it's called Mashiach Rabin because it's pronounced Yashir, on the other hand, it's written Yashian, which really means one. So the Gemara got a whole lot of things that can have that. So the Gemara is half a thousand of an hour. Start to put other areas of Allah where this becomes relevant. I want to speak about one or two of these sugyas, small mini sugyas. I don't give my cover, so just to make a few hours of this. So the Gemara Dal and Rawa, the top one, the Vitzik, by Yosef, the Yosef, the Rebbe, the Rebbe, the Rebbe, the Shabbat, the Rishim, the Rekiva, the Kulisiliation, the Mekwa, all these Tanaim hold that you follow the pronunciation. Rebbe Yavi Amram, Rebbe was the one that we discussed about Yashiyun. Rebbe Yudim and Rawa decided the following guys, the first thing we want to discuss. Shalom to me, which are Yudim and Rawa, Ekron Yishiva, the Torah says concerning Tumas Yoledes, that when a woman gives birth, if she gives birth to a boy, she's Tameah for 7 days. If she gives birth to a girl, she's Tameah for a certain amount of days also. This is not because she's bleeding, even if she miraculously has a baby without any blood, but the Gemara calls a lady Yadeshta, which is highly unlikely, but even in terms of that happens, so the Gemara says she's still Tameah Tumas Yoledes, so it's unclear as how long was she Tameah Tumas Yoledes for an Akeva. So it says, Shin Beis Ayah Yud Mem. So Rabbi Yudim Brolet said that I could theoretically say Shivim, and she's commanded for 70 days, so she can't be with her husband until 70 days pass. So Yafal to hey, to your lettuce, the cave with me, Shivim. So Amalahem, so he said, no, it can't be. He may be tear bizarre, but he may be tear bin a cave. The Torah says that a woman gives birth to a boy, she's commanded for 7 days, and then she's Tahora for 33 days. What Tahora means is that any doubt that she sees during that period of time after the 7 days is called Dam Tohar. And even if it's blood, if it's coming from the uterus, it's not a real dam. You just know exactly what it is. It doesn't matter. It's a zeh psychosis, then it's taught anyway. There's a bit of tumas yoledes, there's a bit of dam torah yishol yoledes. So just as when it comes, makush etir bezachar v'dikay v'kiflayim, akush etir bezachar v'kay v'kiflayim. So just as when it comes to dam torah, so the Torah says there are 33 days of dam torah for a zachar, 66 days for a kay. So you see the ratio of 1 to 2. Well, then when it comes to tum, it's a ratio of 1 to 2. Since we know that she's Tameah for a Zoha 7 days, the male she's Tameah for an Akeva 14 days. Very complicated, Cheshbin, the Rebbe Rod, the KP and Beth, to figure out all these Cheshbinis. So then comes Rebbe Rebbe Rod and says, no, the Akashi Yotzu, Yotzu Matsa for him. After the Tabit left, so we started running out after them and said, no, Amalahan, get them Sukhulkat. Forget this Rashi, you don't need this fancy Hollywood. Shvuayim karin and geishim lemikvah. Even though the word is written in the Chumash Shivim, so it could have just as easily been pronounced Shivim, but lemaisa we have a tradition not to be the Shivim, to be the Shvuayim. So Shvuayim is 2 weeks. So the Gemara says that's ultimately the makor for the din that when a woman has his birth when she came to us, she's Tameah from this Yoledes 14 days. So whether you take the original drasha from Rebbe Menorah, it's that family of the with the Meah, you come to the Kluj, bottom line is that's a bit halacha lemaisa that a woman is Yoledes. You can let us for the cave is to make it to Masnida or slash to Masnida for 14 days. So is any of this relevant for us? This whole discussion, this whole process, this drasha, what might have come in Ladina that a woman is to make it for 14 days? So just to get a little bit of a background, those who like the Masnida Shirim, so it'll be a little bit chazar for them. They can take the machine again if they want. Those who didn't learn this, some. What? They didn't think yet. I just got one of your machines. Oh, that was the Avelos machine. See? I haven't even told this in the machine. I just looked at that mom. Yeah, good. Okay, we're on top of it. Like, if you guys are learning the machine, one, they were learning the sentence of Abraham together, and then they got enough on the bay, so one of the guys said that, wait a second, the Masechta ends. Then they realized he was learning Abraham, he was learning Abraham. They told you, they were learning Chavusa for 35 bucks. That's it. So come to the Torah and says, in the end of Parshas Metzora, that there are really two different types of tumah, when a woman has a riyas dam, a woman's experience is bleeding, so she really can become tamei in one of two ways. She can become either a nida or a zaba. What's the difference between the two? So the Torah is very simple. If she has bleeding during the regular time of her cycle, then she becomes a nida. If she has bleeding during the irregular time of her cycle, then she becomes a zaba. What's considered to be the irregular time of the cycle? So the Gemara says we have a halacha Moshe B'Sinai, what's called the Yudal Yerim Shevanido Nida. So let's say, for example, brought out a little bit here. So let's say a woman gets a period of time, let's say, on June 1st. So she becomes the May Nida until June 7th. And then in theory, in October, she goes to the Mikvah at the end of June 7th. Then any time from June 7th, from June 8th until June 7th, 18, those next 11 days, so she could potentially become a Zava. If she would see Dam during those next 3 days, 3 days in a row, then she becomes what's called the Zava Gedola. What's the significance of that? Learns out from Sukkim as follows, that when a woman becomes a Diva, she sees Dam from day one to day seven, those are many Diva. So in Torah, the law is, she waits 7 days. The 7 days don't have to be clean days. She doesn't have to check herself, doesn't have to make sure that the bleeding stops. As soon as the 7 days are over, then she goes to the mikvah. That's, you may need this min HaTorah. However, if she sees Dam during the Yei Ziva, so she sees 3 days in a row, then she's required to wait, not just 7 days to become Torah, she's required to wait, what do we call it? Nujash. What do we call it? Shem Nikiyah. She has to check herself every day and make sure that the bleeding is really stopped. So in a certain sense, it's much worse to be a Zavah Gedolah than to be a Nid. If you're a Nidah, so you have to wait 7 days and then you're okay. You can bleed him all the way. If you become a Zavah Gedolah, then you're complete, you have to wait Shem Nikiyah. The Gemara says at the end of Masechet Nida that the Chachamim made a takron of Bizman Hazeh, that any time a woman sees Dam, any time during her cycle, at the right time, at the wrong time, one time, two times, three times, zero times, it doesn't matter. This smallest amount of blood, so we treat her as a Zavah Gedolah, she's required to have Shuv Nikiyah. And that's the din Halach Lamais and Shachar. So the theoretical difference between the Maimonides and the Maimonides is really irrelevant for us Bizman Hazeh. The Torah tells us when a woman has a baby, so the Tumah Shulayim Kididasa, or the Tumah Shivas Yamim, Kimei Nidas, Nosa Tikma, that means that Tumas Yomedes in a Torah has the status like Tumas Nida, not Tumas Ziva. So it doesn't say Kimei Zivasa Titma, it says Kimei Divosa Titma, Kimei Nidas Titma. So the Gemara says in the Sefer Nida that any time a woman has a baby, she has to wait either the 7 days or the 14 days, and then at the end of those days, even if the bleeding is still going on during the 7 or 14 days, she still goes to the mikvah, and she's Mutaris Labayim. So comes the Gemara in Masechet Nida and tells us sometimes you can have a situation where a woman is both a Yoledes, which is tantamount to Nida, and also Zavah Gedolah. How does she pull off that stunt? Let's say before she starts to give birth, she starts to bleed. When the process of giving birth, she's bleeding. So in theory, she could be both. She could have the worst of both worlds. She could be a Yoledes and also be a Zavah Gedolah. So comes Shulchan Aruch and says, yeah, that's exactly what happens with Zman Hazeh. All of our women, every woman gives birth, so we throw two strikes at her. She's Tumei Tumas Yoledes, and she's also Tumei Tumas Zavah Gedolah. And the male, what does that mean practically? That means that before a woman can go to the mikvah, so two things have to happen. She has to pass the male Yoledes Min HaTorah, either 7 days or the 14 days, depending on the boy or girl. And she also has to count what? She has to also count Shiv Nikiyim to get rid of the blood because she was treated as a Zava of Yerod Yerod. That's the Din Shavanam. So comes a shadow as follows. Very, very, very real, nice thing shadow. Let's say a woman gives birth, and she gives birth to a girl for argument's sake. So for a girl, there's no way in the Torah she goes to the mikvah until 14 days past, unless it's a karas. And she also has to count Shiv Nikiyim. So what's the shadow? What do you tell me? I said, what's going to shadow? What's going to become the shadow?
Can they be consecutive?
Can those 2 days overlap with one another? Can she start to count the Shiv Nikiyim even though the 14 days aren't over yet? What's that like? So, Chayyu can raise it, Chayyu can raise the shadow. The Torah says, they are making this. I ask a question. The woman gives birth. And most women, they give birth, they start to bleed for a few days. So she bleeds, and then after 10 days, the bleeding is all over. So she wants to start, she wants to get a jump start on the mikvah. So she wants to start counting day 11 after the baby's born as the first day of Shiv Nikiyim. Can she do that or can she not do that? So what's the lamda shishana? Shaila is this din that the Torah tells us for Tamu Shvuayim Kinidasa, that we treat the first 2 weeks after she has a baby girl as you may need it. What's pshat? Is the Torah saying that we make believe as if she's seeing Dam? This is mamish ki evil. The Halacha says that she's bleeding. Aye, she's clean. There's no blood. Nothing will clean. Stop already. No. The Torah say, uses the phrase. This pasuk, the Tamu Shvuayim Kinidasa. So that means that we view her as if she's bleeding for the full 2 weeks. If she's bleeding for the full 2 weeks, how can you call that Shiv Nikiyim? Shiv Nikiyim, by definition, means that the bleeding stops. Is that the pshat of Gzeiras HaKasa for Tamu Shvuayim Kinidasa? And you say no. That the Torah is just telling us is that she has a din of Tumas Nida for 2 weeks, but the Torah is not telling us the Metzias is that she's bleeding. The Metzias is she left one, finished, she had a baby, a week and a half ago, and bleeding is over. So the fact that the Torah says, that just means that we quote unquote, well, they can believe that, but she's still a Nida. But in terms of the Metzias HaDvar, she really believed the answer is clearly not. This is like Moshe Maldapadon, we spoke about last week. He said sometimes Biur changes the Metzias, and sometimes Biur doesn't change the Metzias. That's the question here also. Is Tamash Mu'an Kiridasa Api Aloch telling us that either she's bleeding, and therefore you can't count her in a key? So who's this Machalik between? Who? Josh, remember? So it really started as Machalik between you before the time. Who learned this from last year? Did we talk about this last year in Ksubas? I don't think so. Just in the Nida, she was talking about it. Machalik Zabayin Rav in the Sechas Nida, the fourth Gara, about what's the day, whether you may lay the She'ena Roy Behem, all in the spheres Shiva Nikiyam or not. So according to Zabayin, not. Zabayin's longest is, the Tavash Ram Kiyad also was, that the Ilush is bleeding, so therefore can't count the Shiva Nikiyam. And Rav disagreed. Rav said no. Rav said that it's just Afidim she's treated as a Nida, but she's not actually bleeding. Machlekes the Josh was referring to is Machlekes Rebbein Tam. The other Rishon, how do you pass it? So if you tell me, how do you pass it? No, she Machlekes the bad Rabba. How would you pass it? You were right before me. Say for Bacha. That's like Rabba. We all know that looks like Rabba except for six exceptions to the rule. So what are the six exceptions to the rule? So one is Yishlom Das, one is Eidim Zomin. What's the Lamed? What's the Hele the Lamed of Yalfa Gan? So Rebbein Tam claimed that the Lamed of Yalfa Gan is Yimei Leidra. Is this Shaila? This Machlekes the bad Rabba. So therefore, Rebbein Tam said we have to pass the Nekabade. It turns out to be a tremendous chumrah that you may lay the she'ena rabam enam olam l'sviras shirayakiyim. And all the other Rishonim say it's not true. That the lamed is a shalom of duchas lechi, it's a shalom of his erev. It has absolutely nothing to do with duchas nid, with duchas chumrah. And therefore, we go back to the regular flow of Bible of Lachar Ramas. It's machlech to be shown in Halacha what the longest of this did of the Tamash Shulam.
Are you going to need a lady stop saying Barak for 2 years to start counting?
Yeah, that's not going to affect us.
Okay. The overwhelming consensus is not like a Rebbein Tam?
Right, no way. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't record Rebbein Tam in Halacha. We pass the Halacha against Rebbein Tam. Now this comes up on Maisa sometimes as follows. For a normal woman, a woman has a baby, so she doesn't stop bleeding for a long time. It takes a few weeks and the bleeding actually stops. So most of the time, you're not going to get anywhere near counting the Shem Nikiyim until way after the 14 days are over. The Chachin of Kamini sometimes for miscarriages. You know, the thing is, whenever a woman has a miscarriage, so if the baby has not developed 40 days, wasn't even alive for 40 days, so then there's no din of Tumas Yoledes, it's just a regular din of Tumas Nid and Ziva, the Chum of Tumas Yoledes doesn't say it. So the baby is already 40 days old, so then that's considered to be a Leida already, and we don't know whether it's a boy or a girl. When a woman miscarries in the second month of pregnancy, it's usually very difficult, because in the old days it was extremely difficult to figure out whether it was a boy or a girl. So we have to treat on the Chumra that it's a girl, and therefore she's Tumea Tumas Nida for 14 days. So here she wants to count Shiva Nikinim. Very often after a miscarriage, you don't bleed that long, you don't bleed for 10 weeks after a miscarriage. Such an early on miscarriage, you can sometimes clear up after a week and a half, 2 weeks. So here the woman in day 12, all of a sudden she realizes that the bleeding stopped, so she wants to get a jump start and be able to go to the mikvah, so she wants to count Shiva Nikiyim. So Rebbein Tam says she can't do that, because she's still in the middle of Yimei, Melei Dasa, Misafei, and according to the other Rishonim, she will be permitted to do that. So Ma'alach L'Maisa Shechanach, we pass it against Rebbein Tam. Is there any nachmin at all from this Rebbein Tam for this discussion?
Is this also part to whether they should start counting? She gets 7 days after the baby.
That's what we're talking about. Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. So we mentioned before that there are really two dinim for Tumas Yoledes. There's a din of Tumas Yoledes, and then there's a din of Dab Torah Yoledes. That whenever a woman gives birth, so for the first 7 days for a boy, she's Tumea. And any blood she sees after that, Minatora we ignore. But the Rabbanim we have problems with it, but Minatora we ignore any blood after the 7 days. And for Yoledes Nekeva, so for the first 14 days she's Tumea. And then the next 66 days, so we ignore that blood. So what exactly is the demarcation between the Yemei Tuma and Yemei Tor? How do Yemei Tuma end and how do Yemei Tor begin? So Lechora, one could raise also a Chakira. What exactly is the cutoff point? Is this purely a calendaric distinction? But as soon as the 7 days after the baby comes out, the Yizachar, 14 days after the Nikiyim, that's it. You make two more over. Any blood afterwards is going to be Tahar. Is that the shot? Or do we say no? Usually we know that what obviously is always necessary to change somebody from going from the state of Tumah to Tahara. What's always a requirement? Or the Mikvah. So maybe going to the Mikvah is necessary to be made Tahar to begin. Now, at first glance, it's not really enough. Kamina, everyone agrees she's not going to be Luteris to her husband until she goes to the mikvah. Once she became Tumea, either Al Siledis or Al Sinid or Al Zava, so in that Torah, she's Asura to her husband until she goes to the mikvah. So my Nafkamina is like this. There's a din that whenever a woman has a Riyaz Dam, so not only is she Asura to her husband, but the Dam itself is Tumea. Dam Nida, Adam Ziva is one of the Avia, it's not Avia Rosalind, it's an Avatuba, it's the Tami things. So that din, the Dam Nida, is the Tami things, that's only if it's Dam, that's you may Nida, you may Ziva, etc. What if it's Dam Tor? What if it's blood that comes during that time of our cycle, which is 66 days after the baby, which is not considered to be a Riaz Dam? So even though it's physically blood, it's the exact same blood, it's coming from the same blood in the body. It doesn't matter, that Dam does not have a status of Tumas Dam. If that Dam, let's say, touched a piece of bread, so that bread doesn't become Tumas. Not too relevant for us today, we don't care if it becomes Tumas. But in theory, Minat Torah, that Dam does not make the woman Tumas. So what's the deal? So a woman has a baby on June 1st. She has a baby girl on June 1st. So any Dam that comes out of her for June 1st is Tumas Dikka Dam. That Dam touches food, food becomes Tumas. June 7th, June 3rd, June 4th, etc. Comes June 15th, and blood, she's still bleeding. Comes June 15th and the blood comes out of her, is that Dam Tomei or is that Dam Tahor? So if she went to the mikvah, everybody agrees that that Dam is considered to be Dam Tahor. That's the Xeris HaKosov of Teshav of Meitah Rabbah, the Gemara was referring to. So if she went to the mikvah, that clearly ended the Yemei Tumah, now the Yemei Tahor started. So there's absolutely no question that Dam is not going to be Tomei food. So let's say she didn't go to the mikvah. All she did was count the 14 days without going to the mikvah. So what's the status of that Dam? Who remembers the Midrash? Yeah, the Shiloh, that's a lovely Shiloh. What changes from Yimei Tumah to Yimei Tahor? Is it just going to the, is it just the days of the calendar, or is it going to
isn't
the
Isn't it Dam Zivah?
No, it's Dam Zivah because it's Dam Tahor now, because it's within the 66 days of three weeks.
Meaning if this was during the rest of the year,
so right. For sure that would be Dam Zivah, right.
It's special.
But if she goes to the mikvah, then she starts to leave, she's in Teres Lavayla, that's the Xeris HaKosov of Dam Tahor. So I want to know what kicks in Dam Tahor. Is it the end of the days, or is it going to the mikvah? So this is also Machlekes B'Sham B'Sillel, Machlekes HaTanoi B'Masech Zivah. So the Shaila says, "Biyomei Tal Rachamana," that as soon as the days, the 14 days are over after the baby, that's it, finished. So that's not Torah. And they still says, "No, biyomei Tefilat Tal Rachamana." You need to go into the mikvah in order to create the possibility of Yomei Tal. No possibility.
Bisal says she has
to
go to the
mikvah. Yes, go to the mikvah first, right? You don't go to the mikvah, so it's discontinued to be a hemshech of the dam tamei. There's all psukim. None of this makes any sense. This is all. I mean, you're gonna make svaras. It's all zayasetas.
So what's the shishim yom v'sheishes yom?
So that means if she goes to the mikvah at the end of the 14 days, then she's entitled for the next 66 days to have dam torah. Of course, she didn't go to the mikvah, so you make torah can't stop. So Pesula saying a tremendous chiddush. Pesula saying that although you read the pshat in the chumash, you get the impression that 14 days is you make tumah and that's it. And they never go past 14 days. It's not true, says Pesula. We of course pass like this alone. She's still considered to be in the Xeris HaKosov of Yemei Tumah until she actually goes to the mikvah. So now we're going to start heading for trouble. Okay? Remember the Machlokes Abaye and Rabba. Remember the Machlokes Abaye and Rabba. We showed him the way Rabbeinu Tam passes that the old you cannot count Shuv Nekiyim until you make Tumah over. That's a steal in Neobe, according to Rabbeinu Tam, because according to Abaye, calls mad that she's still in halachically Yemei Mikvah. So we view it as if she's actually seeing blood. So when she's actually seeing blood, she can't stop to count Shiva Nekiyim. So if you put together Abaye Shita and Beis Hillel Shita, what conclusion do you draw? Put two and two together. According to Abaye, there's no way to start counting Shiva Nekiyim until the Yemei Tumah are over. You can't overlap Yemei Tumah and Shiva Nekiyim. And according to Beis Hillel, the only thing that ends Yemei Tumah as well is going to the mikvah. So we'll catch this one. A woman has a baby. She wants to be mutaris to her husband. So what do we tell her to do? 14 days have to pass. And what does she have to do? She has to go to the mikvah. Is she mutaris to her husband?
Yeah. Oh, no, she's not.
Nothing new. She didn't even start counting Shiva Nekiyim yet. According to Rabbeinu Tam, she's not eligible to start the counting Shiva Nekiyim until she goes to the mikvah first. Normally, we think you go to the mikvah, you become mutaris to her husband. Nothing new, according to Rabbeinu Tam. You go to the mikvah first in order to be eligible to start the counting Shiva Nekiyim. And then at that point, once you make Tumah Rov, now you make Torah Rim, then you can start the counting Shiva Nekiyim. And after you finish Kabbalah Shiva Nekiyim, what do you have to do? Then you have to go to the mikvah again in order to become the Kairos to your husband. That was Rabbeinu Tam's famous Chumrah. It was a combination, it wasn't such a wild Chumrah, it was a combination of his sheep and the Pasim like Abaye, combined with what they still all said, put the two together, where Rabbeinu Tam coined the phrase the base Tevilos. You need two Tevilos, Tevilah Achas, to permit you to count Shiva Nekiyim and Tevilah Shein Shniya in order to permit you to become the Kairos to your husband.
We'll come.
So what was the problem with the sheep in Rabbeinu Tam? That it was cold in Poland. And the women didn't want to do this. It was hot enough to get a mikvah once in Poland. Yeah, you're telling a woman who just had a baby 2 weeks ago, you can't start counting Shiva Nekiyim until you go to the mikvah first. It was too difficult. So The commentator Ramon said that the Rabbanim in Poland came up with a Gvalk Eitzah, unbelievable Mardik Eitzah. True Beis Hillel said that you may later continue, even after the 14 days, until the woman goes to the mikvah. That was Beis Hillel's chiddush. So commentator Ramon says, maybe there's another way to end your may later. So commentator Ramon says, maybe after you have made Tohar totally over, either 33 for the boy, 66 for the girl, and the whole thing is over, Hakol, Mikol, Kol, so says the Ramah, that's also considered to be Yimei Leida, are over. Otherwise, says the Ramah, you have a strange thing. Let's say a woman gave birth 25 years ago, and she's not from, she never went to the mikvah. So you would say, she's still Yimei Leida, she's still Yimei Tumas Leida. That's a little bit silly. True, she can't be with her husband until she goes to the mikvah, that's true. But Mistama, the din of the May Lane, they're over already. So comes and everyone says, even though Beis Hillel says that Yom may be Tevila Tal Rachamana, but there's another option. The other option is if you make Torah pass. It says the Ramah, let's say a woman doesn't want to go to the mikvah two times. She wants to go only one time. So she has an option. What she could do is after she has a baby, she could wait how long? A total of 40 days for a boy, or a total of 80 days for a girl, and after that go to the mikvah, and after that go to Kav Shiva Nikilim. And then go to the mikvah after the 87 days, go after the 47 days, and that's also acceptable according to Rabbeinu Tam Shita. So again, we have, according to all the other Rishonim that have heard of this whole story, there's all the other Rishonim that have passed like Rava, that you can overlap your Mei Leida with Shiva Nikim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, a passing like Abai, that you can't overlap between the two, so I would have thought that you have to literally wait, you have to literally go to the mikvah according to Beis Hillel. So Kamash Balan, no, you don't have to go to the mikvah. You can wait at the end of your Mei Tohar and thereby saving yourself a tefillah. So the Ramah writes that there was a minhag in some communities in Europe that the women who gave birth would not go to the mikvah until 80 days are up, or 40 days are up. It would be asur to the husbands for so many, for weeks and weeks and months. 80 days is more than two and a half months. They would stay away from the husbands for 2.5 months to avoid having to do the base tefillahs because it was so difficult to do the base tefillahs. So the Ramah writes, any community that has such a minhag should continue that minhag. Any community that doesn't have such a minhag is not mechuyav to accept such a minhag. Anyone know what that minhag is?
Not to do that.
This minhag has gone by the wayside. Why is this minhag gone by the wayside? Because the whole minhag was predicated around Rabbeinu Tam. Because Rabbeinu Tam passed like a bag, we wouldn't pass like a Rabbeinu Tam. We passed like all the other Rishonim that you may leave Shiva Nikim can double together, so therefore we're not concerned with this whole minhag. So minhag in that community is just defeating about this. The Rambam writes in the Chassidus Sefer B, he also quotes this minhag. And the Rambam didn't have all this lumpness in the minhag. The Rambam writes, he doesn't have such very positive things about to say about this minhag. He writes that those women, those crazy Mishkanah women who are waiting 80 days until they go to the mikvah after they have a baby, so says the Rambam, that minhag came from the Epikursim, it came from the Karoim. Because the Karoim didn't believe in Tosh Shabbat Pes, so they didn't believe that Yimei Tohar means Yimei Tohar. They thought that Yimei Tohar means Yimei Tumah. He gives you a hope shot. The Rambam gives you the Karoim is Lomdus. That's the Lomdus in everybody. You're not going to say Lomdus in the Karoim. So the Rambam tries to explain what they held like also. And then the Rambam says, Chas V'Shalom, you should have followed this minute. So the Rambam thought the minute was based on Rabbi Natam, and the Rambam thought it was based on the Abbe Kirsten. Whoever it's based on, the Maizim don't follow. The Lachma Maizim don't follow. So we go back to the regular Klolim, namely that anytime a woman has a baby with Manazeh, you have to make sure two things clear up. She has to pass the Yimei Tumah, which are 7 or 14 days, and she also has to count Shiva Nikiyah, but the overlap, there can in fact be an overlap between the two, so we're not concerned with the whole Shiva Rabbeinu Tam, we're not concerned with the baby. Just a small aura, just to get a little bit of flavor for the month. So the Gemara continues a little bit. Yes, that was the Bach time. Bach said that they really should go 87 days because the Ramah is the quote, that's the problem. It wasn't in the 80s, which doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so the way we pass him is that.
We pass him
that after 14 days, that in the 14 we can count the Zion Nikim also, and then go to the Mikvah, and then
she goes. As long as she goes to the end of 14, as long as 14 days, she's okay.
When does she go to the Mikvah?
She can go after 14. As long as she's 14 days have passed since the birth, as well as Shiva Nikim have passed, even though those two were the same.
She has to go twice?
No, we pass.
So she can go like at 17.
She goes 17, 25, whatever. Yeah, right. Whenever she can, that's what we do. Because usually ends up, most women, it takes a while to go to birth. Most women do not get the mirror after birth, 3 weeks after the birth. It usually takes 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks or something, like physically, just to the blood and stuff.
And if she is Zayin Nikim, and then afterwards she sees Dom, so she start again?
So if she counts Shiva Nikim, and then she goes to the mikvah, and then she sits down again. So in that Torah, that dam doesn't not the time yet. She's going to terrace to her husband, and there are some Rishonim who say even when they do abadon, she's going to terrace to her husband. We have a minute not to do that. How many years to be machbe to do away this whole cool of dam Torah because it's too risky with Marzei. Dam Torah, they can make mistakes, they're going to count along, so the Rishon write, and it has become to forget the Kul of Dam Torah. But the Torah really works. The Rambam writes that in his days, so most of the Jewish communities had already done away with the Kul of Dam Torah. The Rambam writes there were a few communities that were still hanging on. He says in France, he heard that in France, the Rishon was still making a lot of it. And then later years, the Rishon in France also, they also backed out.
So we accept
Beis Hillel
that you need
the mikveh
in the camp?
Yeah, we accept Beis Hillel that you need the mikveh, legabe, the MDMA in terms of the Tumas Adam, but we don't care about Tumas Adam.
It's not women anymore.
It's not enough for me anymore.
So
it doesn't make a difference.
Beis Hillel would only matter if you were saying, okay, come on.
Right.
So why
was it? But Beis Hillel was talking about Shalaf Tumas Adam, not about the issue. So that wouldn't matter anymore. We don't care about that. Okay. Good. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara talks a little bit about Kachim. To figure out how many matters down on the Hakid. Then the Gemara quotes another Machlokes with the Yom of the Yesh, Eben Mikvei Shem Masoret, and Mamshin Yom of the Yom, about Sukkah a little bit, so I thought we'll talk a little bit about that also. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon, down a little bit, Rabbi Shimon decided, the first one was Bechdi, decided to shine to Chasim and Shlish Tafil Tefach, Rabbi Shimon on there, Shalosh Kil Chasim Rabbi Yisrael Tafil Tefach. The point is that the nine, how many walls of the Sukkah do you need? So everybody agrees that there was a halacha of Moshe Sinai, that whatever number you thought you would have needed, so you don't really need it. You're just going to chop it down. That last wall, whatever that number is, either three or four, so that last wall doesn't have to be a full Shia of a Sukkah. It could be just the width of the Tefach, is also good enough. So what's the issue? The Gemara says, "Mike, if we Rabban Tzav Yeshem the Masayres, or Shimon Tzav Yeshem the Mikra, Rabban Tzav Yeshem the Masayres." So even though we pronounce it Pasukos, but since two out of the three times it's written Chaser, so we read it like this: Pasukas. So Sukas is Loshen Yochid, Sukas is Loshen Yochid, Sukos is Loshen Rab. Marikan Arba. So you start out with four. So Dal Chakra Vegufe. So one of the words of Sukkos. So you can't really darshan because you need first to tell you that you have to sit with sukkah. So one word is not eligible for a drasha. So partial with klasa. The starting point is three walls. Based on those three words, you have three walls. And so you look at the sukkah of shalisha. So comes along the Moshe Tzirin and says that third wall doesn't have to be a full wall. You have kimsa tefach. It's good enough that it can be a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Sovar pasukos pasukos pasukos. Rabbi Shimon says yeshem lemikra. So it's six every time sheish nalchad kala gufei. Knock down one of the words just to teach me the yatsim in the sukkah. Poshu Abi left four. So I hilchos agaras on the rabbis are up in the devach. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the fourth wall is good enough to be a devach. Obviously, passing like so therefore, Allah Lamei. So we pass in three walls is good enough. Shalosh kilchad, shtayim kilchasam, shlish tefilah. Fifth wall. No, so two get knocked off according to Rabbi Shimon. You start with one only. Good, so this is very much an halacha lemaisa, we're talking about this a little bit. But this idea of shtayim b'chasa, afilu shlisa b'chasa, the other side of the sukkah says that there are two different ways of setting this up. You need to set it up that you have two walls which are b'chasa. How much is b'chasa now and how much is the width of the sukkah? What was the length? It's b'chasa and b'chasa. Sometimes I say it has to be dal amas, one of the two walls have to be dal amas. And we ask it that it has to be 7-12, what's the math like this? The Gemara explains in the days of the Sukkah, there was Machlokes Rabbeinu Tanan where the Sukkah is supposed to be Diras Keva, Diras Aron. In the Moravian, there's a din of the Sukkah's Teishu, Teishu Ke'en Taduru. So it has to be as similar to your house as possible. So that's what Rabbeinu Tanan said. Just as your house is a Diras Keva, you live in your house all the time, so the Sukkah has to be Royal Akan for Diras Keva. So a bias in Halach is always Dalad Abbas for Dalad Abbas. That's what the din is. If you have a rule that's less than Dalad Abbas for Dalad Abbas, so it's Pachim Mezuzah, Nikar Din. Some exceptions to them, there's wine laws. And some Talmudim said each one of these walls have to be down on this. And the other Talmudim say, no, that Sukkah is Diras Aroy. And since the Torah says, Pesukhtesh Shivas Yomim, so you see the Torah doesn't want you to have a totally Ke'en Taduru. It's supposed to be different than Ke'en Taduru. So the Chatzah, the Sukkah is good enough to have 7 Tvachim. So why 7 Tvachim with Diras Aroy? Why is that Shir of Diras Aroy? So the Gemara says that a person takes for his body about 6 Tvachim or so. From here to here is approximately 6. Six tefachim, and then you need a little bit of room for your shulchan, you need a little bit of room for your table, and so the table, a bare minimum, a little tray, that's seventh tefach, that's what's required. So the machlokes of Rishonim, whether that seventh tefach is really that tefach or not. So some Rishonim say that tefach really can be 6x6, and other Rishonim say no, that you really need that tefach for the shulchan with that raisa, because if you don't have room for your table, that's garnish, it's not considered to be a dibur anymore. Fine, so Allah Almighty is asking this has to be 7x7. The Gemara says, we then put the sitting could be one, then that's okay. Then there was another cheshbon. Let's say rather than having to set up like this, you have two walls like this, each one is seven and seven, and you put a tefach over here, so it must, that's also okay. So either one of these is okay to have Torah. Then comes the Gemara Masechet Sukkah and says that even though we're not Torah, this is a good enough setup to build a sukkah. The Rabbanan, this is a problem. It's too open over here. It doesn't really look like anything's here. Allah Almighty is here, it's good. So the Rabbanan, you have to touch this up a little bit. How do you touch it up? So you don't have to build the whole wall here. We have to do something that's the equivalent of the Allah on the wall. What is that? It's just a Pesach, right? Like when you build an Eruv, right? When you build an Eruv, so the first edition of Masechet Eruv says that some part is good enough not to have an actual wall. So when you have a Kodimikan, two poles and a string or another pole something like that, so if you have a locker that's considered to be like a wall, that's called the Torah Pesach. I think Rabbi Sarmi told me that he was saying Shia once, about Torah Pesach. It happened to me, it was before Pesach. He was saying, Tuzepesach. So he said, well, after Shia was over, one of the Balabatim came over to him. He says, Rabbi Sam, there was a phenomenal Shia. I really followed it. It was a Balabatim Shia. My only question is, I still didn't chop what that had to do with Passover. Tuzepesach, Pesach. He had no clue what the book Rabbi Sam was talking about. He thought the Shia was about getting ready for Pesach. Anyway, so. So
there's a din. There's a din that Tuzepesach is dealing with the Mechitza and Vilcha Shabbos. So, comes to the Gemara and says, with the Rabbanan, you don't really need to do that. With the Rabbanan, it's good enough just to have Shtayim to cross and switch stuff a little better. But the Chav before that looks a little bit funny to have this whole area open. So, he has to do this follows that for the remaining area, you have to make it to a Pesach. So, comes to the Gemara and says, with the Chav, want to give you a brick. Like we said before about the Anabon, they wanted to say wood. So, yeah, comparison. So, they wanted to make it a little bit easier for you, so they said like this. Then, is really a tefach. You don't need to do some pesach b'chal. What you can do is like this. Rather than putting the shlish tefil tefach right next to the wall, and then it's going to force you to have to build a sixth tefach shlish tefach to make up the difference, right, with the rabbanan, do like this. Use the principle of love. Right? Love means anything that's within three tefachim, or something is evil is connected. That's the whole halacha of Moshe is saying, right? So here, put your little tefach over here. So now it's 2.9 talking away from the wall. So it's all filled in. That's a lot of Moshe Sidiya problem. So now you have 2.9 plus, put a tefach here. So put a big fat tefach, make it a little bit more. So make it 1.1. So now you have a total of 4. So now all you have to do is make a teeny weeny two sentences of 3 tefachim. And then, lo and behold, you have 7 by 7 by 7. So this is a cheapy way of building the third wall, but the Gemara says you don't really need it. Now Torah, you don't need it just a tefach, but Torah is good enough just to have a tefach the Abba, but since the Rabba, they don't want you just to do that. So they said build this cheapy type of wall that's also good enough. What about over here? So over here also, or they should have said the same thing. They should have said that the Rabba, we don't want to get away with this. So build. So I had a little bit of a break, 2.9 break, and they put up with that thing here, and put it to the best of Shalom Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, the Chum didn't want to permit that. Why? Because this looks much more open than here. Why is that? Here, at least you're connected, at least you have the semblance of the house. You're close to looking like you're closed in. Over here, you have traffic. You can have the FDR going right between your two walls here. So it doesn't really look all that close. But the Chum said like this. The Chum said, it's not enough just to build this fake to the Pesach story. Although your sister's like this, they're not telling her it's good enough. A tefach, even up here. But the Rabbah, they're going to tell you to take a board and make it, it's called a pastel, a board of 4 tefachim. The 4 tefachim of Zeirvin is much more of a Shia Chasha than just a tefach. So the Rabbah, they just built a 4 tefach wall, and that's good enough. So then it was Machoy Zerishonim, and then what? What do you have to do after that? So some of them said, then of course what do you have to do, because without saying with the Rabbanan, then you have to put it to the desert also. But the Chum didn't want to let you do was play games with love here, 2.9, 1.1, and then build it to the desert. And I tell you, build this to be really solid towards Chum, and then build it to the desert for the remaining 3. So another Rishon said, no, you don't need the 3, because it's the whole purpose. Once you built the 4, so then it looks pretty much close, so then the Rabbah, you solve the whole problem. That's Machlokes Rishonim, it's 2 days of Shulchan Aruch in terms of the Sukkah. So Halacha L'maaseh,
either way, either one of these is okay. With the rice, such as the temach alone, is good enough for both of them. With the rabbanon, this is for sure good. And with the rabbanon, this is for sure good. But with the rabbanon, even
this. If you had that set up over there on the left, then wouldn't it be closed up with lava anyway? Why would you just test it? Once you put in one pole, that's already less than three left.
No. I mean, once you put a lava in the lava, this is exactly seven. This could be width, could be 10.
Where's that?
What time you have to have a fort, then you have to get that extra lock in that. How do you have those two walls attached?
Not attached.
It's probably better.
But not the third wall. There's a third wall. No, maybe not totally. The top was good enough, but the third wall was the third one. It doesn't work out.
The first wall is unconnected, not long enough.
We're over there. The second picture over there, yeah, they're not connected. There's no problem.
How they
come together,
vice versa.
You only need one
pad. All you need is three walls. There's one wall, there's one wall, there's a third wall. That's the third wall.
Maybe how does it work? And that top four, how is it set up? Is that sort of the best
up? No. So the Gemara never says this is the best up. That's the problem. The rest is lamitas dalit, and that's it. So some Rishonim say lamitas dalit the dalit. That's all you need. Some Rishonim say then you have to put it as the best up.
So the walls have to be attached.
These walls are attached. Okay, they're attached.
So but in general, when I talk about the walls, also have to be attached.
There has to be some tzirup from them. Yeah. So either the tzirup is up in this corner or the tzirup is in this corner. Is the Chagas of Rishonim, the Gemara here is playing around with Tirus HaPesach. So you get the impression from the Gemara that Tirus HaPesach is a meaningful wall in Chesukah. But the problem is the Gemara is talking about a level of the Rabbanah, because we're not telling the Sukkot discussion without the Tirus HaPesach. So there's a big Chagas of Rishonim, Rush, about what the Din of following is. Let's say I want to make it a little bit easy, I want to save a lot of money on wood. So I take the four balls, stick them in the ground. I take four poles, four bottles of water, and I throw strings across all four of them, and I have four Tirus HaPesachs. What do you say is that? Is that a kosher sukkah? The Gemara says the Farish is done. The Gemara says that the only time Tirus HaPesach works is only in these funny types of things. But just take four poles is no good. So some Rishonim say that's only a chum of Vidur HaMadu. Then I tell you that works also. But there is a Tirus HaPesach. It's a Tirus HaPesach finish. And other Rishonim say no. That even with the Raisa doesn't work. It works with the Shabbos. We know there's a difference between the Pesach in terms of the Shabbos. So that's a question. There may be some differences between the requirement of walls and the Shabbos and the Pesach. That's a shame. But I've got upon this, these Eitzes are good in that term, and then if you do the proper thing, they're good if you do the problem. So while we're spending all this time on this, we're reading the Gemara. We have to know a little bit about it. It's also within 30 days of Pesukas. I want to tell you the following story. That's what I'm talking about.
Did you say that we just build a frame for the sukkah?
Yeah.
And then it's happening. Yeah. Awesome.
It's no good. Even with the rice, it would be not good. So, there is a din that appears in the second paragraph of the second sukkah that a dofen, the wall of the sukkah, has certain halachas to it. In fact, there was some time when you said that the walls of the sukkah have to be mamish made from kosher material, it has to be made from wood, it can't be made from metal. We don't pass like that. We pass that the walls can be made by anything. The only thing that the wall has to have is what? What's the one thing the wall has to be? It has to be chol amoy beruach matzuyah. It has to be able to withstand the normal wind. That's the din of the Shabbos. Also, any wall of an area that can't stand in a regular wind, so lav shlo mechitza. It's not going to be a mechitza. The whole sukkah is possum in a Torah. So there's a big machlokes here. Rishonim, what does that mean that the wall has to be able to stand in a wind? So some Rishonim said that means it has to be stationary in the wind. It flips and flaps in the wind. It's not a mechitza. The whole sukkah is possum in a Torah. The other Rishonim said no, that as long as the wall doesn't fall down like Amrei, so it's okay. Because after all, the bare minimum for a wall is 10 tefachim. So as long as it's 10 tefachim tall at all times, even though it's not in one place, it's always flying away. But as long as tachas always remains above 10 tefachim, that's also okay. So Shalom, Rishonim, Achagis, Chazanish, and others, halach lemaaseh. So this is part of the very serious problem with the what? With the canvas sukkahs. According to some Rishonim, the canvas sukkahs are possible in a third. According to others, they're perfectly okay. The Chazanish held that they're okay. Chazanish are possible in a third. No, don't put it to them. Yeah, the problem is they do flap a little bit. So Ramosha, the Bichesh, Ramosha said that whatever moves less than 3 tefachim is not considered to be moving. So Ramosha wanted to claim that even according to the Machmirim, there would be kasha. All this question from Ramosha. So the Chazanish was Machshir, or the canvas sukkahs that he held, even if they are flapping, it doesn't matter because they're not falling down. And Rav Moshe said, no, that's not the smart. Rav Moshe said that in theory, the flapping without falling down, that's a problem. But that's not called flapping because since they're falling down, they don't move down up. So both Rav Moshe and the Chazanish were Machshir, the canvas sukkahs, each one for two totally different reasons.
Doesn't have anything to be
It's a different chumim with Rabbanim, with Chilim, it's a different stuff. So there are poskim to make, so it's hard to possibly sukkah, considering the fact that three quarters of Klai Yisrael uses them, but there are many Fidelity poskim who say they're not really right, that Lechat Chili, you're really not supposed to really buy the sukkahs. So, first time that I came to California for sukkahs, so I noticed that my in-laws, the sukkah was a canvas sukkah. So I figured, no, we have the long haul for many sukkahs, so we gotta do something about this. How are we gonna solve this problem? I could have gone out and bought the sukkah, that was one option, but I don't think that was a good idea.
Do they have problems with the wind?
No, it doesn't matter. Even if you it happens to be no wind in California,
yeah,
but it has
to be.
No, first of all, it gets windy in California also. Just because you were there in July, you know. It does rain in California even in December once in a few drops here and there. So that's why we don't have a winter cold there. So we only have winter colds in Orlando. If I remember correctly, it was 30 below that one in Shabbos and we were there, no? Cold. 30 above. 60. Okay, 60. So I was very upset about this problem. So how am I going to solve this problem diplomatically? So. I bet it ropes. So I noticed that the way the setup was going to be a wrong picture of this. The sukkahs, a lot of people put their canvas sukkahs, what do they do with them? Usually they put them against the walls of the house. And it's usually, most people put the sukkahs right against the wall of the house. So I noticed that they put the canvas also against the corner, which two sides of the walls of the house come from, right? So everyone understands, right? The materials, okay? So in theory, down the hall of the canvas walls, which are pidin according to Meir Shem, is not walls, have the walls of the house, or to the walls of the sukkah, right? So far, so good. Small technical problem was that there were ledges over the coming out of the walls, and the schach only went up to the ledge, so the schach didn't come anywhere near the walls of the house. So that's a problem. Comes the Mishnah in the second sukkah and says there's a halacha moshe mizinei kolma called doifin akuma. Doifin akuma means that if you have schach posel, which is connected to the walls, even though that schach itself is not kosher for sukkah, but if it's less than dalad amos, that's a lot of room. Halacha moshe mizinei dalad amos is 7-8 feet. If you have schach posel less than dalad amos, so you could still be mitzaref the kosher schach in the middle to the walls. Let's say, for example, the Gemara's commission says the sukkah. Let's say you would knock a hole in the ceiling over here, and you would lay a couple of pieces of bamboo across the middle. So as long as, let's say, you go from here to down here, so if you knock a hole over here, you know you have cement, you have concrete, you have possible schach. It doesn't matter if it's less than dalad amos, but the kosher schach in the middle is mitzaref the sides. So in theory, you can envision this. What I'm really doing is, I'm really relying on the walls of the house as being my defunus of the sukkah, because I don't like the canvas, it's moving, so I don't want to rely on that. So I'm using on the walls of the house. The walls of the house are not touching the kosher schach, because they're touching the ledges. It doesn't matter, the ledge is less than dalad amos, it's 2-3 feet or so. So that's schach pos, so I can't sit under the ledge. I wouldn't sit there anyway, because it's outside of the canvas of the sukkah. So I'm relying on those walls and the kosher schach in the middle. So far, so good. That's the only problem. I need a third. I need
where did the ledge come over? The ledge came over the top. Did it go over the schach? It went over the schach itself?
Yeah. This is the wall. This is the wall of the house. Okay? This is the wall of the house. This is the canvas room. So, here's my.
Was the schach touching the ledges?
Here's the ledge. Alright? Here's the ledge over here.
It's touching? It was touching the...
The ledge went from the wall of the house to the canvas.
It touched?
Yeah. And then the schach, the bamboo, was over here. So, since this is less than the ledge, it's less than dalad amos, so that's not for nakuma. So this is mamash kamad leis. I think this doesn't exist. This wall is mamash kamad here. So, my real sukkah wall is the wall of the house, with two amos of posel schach, and the rest is kosher schach. So mamash home free. I'm home free with except for one problem. I'm missing a third wall.
The two walls were like that?
Yeah, but they're against the corner of the house. Both the walls.
I mean, they had cameras on all four sides. It was just the
house. Right.
Who's the ledge to start to the schach or the wall?
No, the ledge is not mafsik. The ledge is not viewed as being mafsik between the schach and the kosher schach and the wall. because it's less than Aramis.
But you look at it as part of the
as part of the wall, right, right. Not for Akuma, right. Stop for the Shetara, but I'm not supposed to have died for Akuma. Some possible, I'm just missing one wall. Josh Chabal, you were here this year after you were in my in-law's house.
The Shaf was touching the ledge?
Yeah, I mean, it was going, hanging over the stuff. It probably hitting to the ledge. Yeah, it was less than 2-12 bringer.
Well,
I got better and better than that. So comes the Ramon.
Here's the decoration.
Comes the Ramon and says, a little bit of Torah, technically speaking, you could put a tefach and then play games and move it less than 2-12 play and then put it to your cousin. Ramon says, why don't you want to make life easier for yourself? You don't want to do all these crazy wild games. So says the Ramon, it's very simple. What you should do is just make a third full wall. Let's say a tremendous something, 40 feet by 40 feet, and you have a third wall, which is only 7 tefach. Says the Ramon, that's mamash kosher l'chatchila shel l'chatchila. It's mamash not even a problem. Totally kosher l'chatchila. You don't need a lach kosher l'chatchila for this. Because here you have the third wall being 7. So comes the Ramon says, and the Ramah says, that's what you should do. You shouldn't play these games over here. You're going to make a mistake. This is what you should do. So what I did, very simple. I went, scattered around the backyard. I found a good, nice board. 7 tefachim wide is not all that big. 7 tefachim is about 30, 4 inches or so. So I looked at 30 in and maximum 30 inches wide. Not so big. And 10 tefachim tall. Machitza doesn't have to be 50 feet high. It has to be 10 tefachim. The biggest machamir in the 10 tefachim is 40 inches. It has the nation's biggest cover. So you need a board about 40 inches, maybe about 25 inches. That's a lot if you backyard in LA, you don't find anything. So it was very simple. I took a board on the other side, yeah, these were the walls of the house. And I took a board and I put it and I leaned it against the metal part of the frame of the canvas. So I put a couple of bricks against it to keep it in place, I wouldn't move at all. And I had a third wall. I wanted it to somebody up here, the schach is up to there. So the Gemara says, no, the schach doesn't have to touch with the funnels. It's called good asset. There's another halacha mashmi sinai, that if you have a mechitza, which is underneath the schach, and shorav is mekel, doesn't even have to be directly underneath the schach. Mechav is mekel, that it could even be, if you would draw a direct line and still hit within 3 tefachim over the schach, that's also okay. But Kivegi claims that some Rishonim disagree with that. Mechav doesn't even quote that. So yes, it's an ace, but we're not going to that Rabbi Kivega. So we moved the schach over a little bit. So the schach was hitting, so you drew a bead line directly from the top. The board is up to here. The whole board is up to here. And I can't remember, everyone said that it doesn't look so nice, it's just a board. So no problem, I covered it with the canvas. So not going to see it. So I had a board which went up to here. And you drew a straight line up, it would hit over, into the schach. So it was mamash kashal l'chatchila shel l'chatchila. The third wall. You don't even need Shlish Safil Tefa. This is Shlish Safil Shivatvara. So then, wait a second. So that's good. And this part of the Sukkah. What about the rest of the Sukkah? The extended part of the Sukkah, the Chara, over here, is only surrounded by two walls. The third wall.
Another
Sukkah. Comes another Sukkah. Something you remember is that a Sukkah. It says, namely, once you create a Kasha Sukkah, so this is for sure Kasha Nefer. No question asked. Kasha Nefer. That's Kasha Nefer. That's Kasha Nefer. There's a din of a sukkah, that once you have the basic format of a sukkah, and now your schach continues. So as long as your schach is still following one of the walls of a sukkah, it need not follow the other side of the wall also. But let's say you have Torah, Shlish Tefil Tefa, right? So you have 7 by 7. So in that Torah, how can that be good? We have to sit over here. So they have to sit over here. You can sit over here also. We only see two walls. Yes, it doesn't matter. But as long as you have a kosher sukkah, and have the schach over your head, that's that. Is what goes into the mitzvah to the original kosher sukkah. So the Rabbanan that works in also. So I sat over here, and this wall was hidden over here on the side. So this wall was relying on the nasi, and that's okay. So basically, we relied on. We had a few other mushrooms in the sukkah. We had dofen akum over here, because not the dofen akum, and then the ledges which was protruding over here, and the ledges which was protruding over here, would have ruined the sukkah. Would have been a mess to do the schach kosher. On the walls of the house, so that would have been up to creep. So we needed both of them over here. We also needed the dinner for the chitzta to let me relate the top of the board up to the schach. We needed the dinner, we didn't even need the dinner of the shlish tefil tefa, because we were doing better than shlish tefil tefa, and we had to use the dinner of salad to let us come to the Lord, because we needed to do this part of the summer. This was all just to avoid the problem of the flapping walls. It could be that none of this is necessary. The Chazanish is right that the simplest kosher with the flapping walls. Yeah. How are we? You don't need all this. That was my grand ovation in LA. So I was so excited. Every time someone would come to the Sukkah, regular people hadn't bothered showing them something, but sometimes the grand cover would walk in, and so show them something else that they would get all excited. Anyway, that way those come to us, and we have a regular four walls, the whole wall, and it's great Sukkah, it's dirty.
Did they buy a new one?
Huh?
Did they buy a new one?
No, they come to us usually, no one usually have that way anymore for Sukkahs. But when I bought my Sukkah, so we were told we should find the best rather than the wood, because the wood is very heavy, the wood is very hard to put together, and it rocks. So people recommended we got the fiberglass. The fiberglass is strong, it's much stronger than the canvas, but I kept on testing it. I put it up, and I was watching the wind, to see that it didn't move. But nice, it doesn't really move. So yes, it's eggs, so we did is, we knocked a few pegs into the ground. So we have now each one of the walls, besides standing on its own base, is supported by the pegs, so that it doesn't move. Of course, Mr. Klotz himself, last year, the guy who would usually help me put the sukkah together, and got there to throw last year, so we had somebody else who had never helped me before, so I even called him at the end of the year. So we put the sukkah together, only to realize that we put it upside down. The problem was the holes for the pegs didn't line up right. So now that we take the whole sukkah together and flipping it on its head, so we just drilled balls. So a lot of holes in the sukkah, but they're all trying to spot to the pegs that were either ours or supposed to be. So anyway, this is all this didn't exactly work, so then we got down and out for the afterload when we told about the air is no good. Air is no good. Most of the fairish condition of the air is no good. It's only based on the puzzle. It was just one less than there.
Does the person have to sit under a scarf kosher?
Yeah. You can't sit under the Dofna Kuma. You can't sit under the Dofna Kuma. Here it's not relevant. The Dofna Kuma is outside of the canvas. No one's going to sit between the house and the canvas.
And what about also the person has to be sitting with 50% of scarf above?
That's also a shiloh. That didn't fill the room. Is that said in each mokum of the sukkah, or is that said in the sukkah in general? Is it about things about the Avram and others about that?
Something
hanging or something? Depends. It's wooden dal tfachim, decoration, wooden dal tfachim, it's chach. It's bubble for the schach.
Even if it's not kosher schach?
Decorations are usually not kosher schach.
So
you always be careful. No, you should always make sure that all the decorations are wooden dal tfachim in the schach.
But even if they are, it's still
not kosher. No, then it's bottled for the schach.
It's bottled again.
Yeah.
Versus
puzzle
schach, not
bottled. Well, since it's done with Lanois, so since you had your decorations to beautify the schach, so that's considered to be bottled for the schach. Okay. Good. Do just one last thing before we hopefully tomorrow we'll start with the real sugi of the Daman Amaze. Do just one last hour about the sukkah business here. So the Gemara very strange, darshan, the name of the photos. From the word sukkos. The sukkos is the Rav Shimon, the Rabbanon, 4, 6, 2, 3, whatever it is. The Gemara Dash is from the word sukkos. It's a big pella, because there's a machlekes tanoim, the beginning of the second sukkah, where the funnels have to be kosher schach or not. There's a zeros a kosher, chag a sukkos tassel a kosher zom, the osbacha mi garnacha mi yitvecha. So that teaches us that the schach has to be not mechogu a karakon, it has to be cover gedulu min a karakon, it has to be enel kabotuma. So does that zeros a kosher apply to the schach, or also to the funnels? So that's my thing is Rabbi Yosha and the Rabbanon. So according to Rabbi Yosha, it says that the din of Sukkos, the din of Chagas Sukkos Chasal Chaplas and the Funus also. So I understand the Drash of the Gemara that the word Sukkos the teacher that they didn't have the Funus. But according to Rabbi, we disagree with Rabbi Yosha. We hold that you can make fiberglass Sukkos in Chachila Pashtas. You can make metal walls in Chachila. There is no din that the walls have to be dug or do them in a karka. So how can we turn around and say that the word Sukkos tells me the minyan had the funnels. If we pass him that the word sukkos is only Hashem Aschach, the word sukkos and the funnels are not the same thing. So how can the Gemara Masech and Sanhedrin have not turned around and dash the minyan had the funnels from the word sukkos? That's a very basic question. So it appears that the answer to this question is based on the Machlokes Rambam and the Rosh. There's a dinim Masech Sukkah of Tes, and the Gemara says that if you when you build a sukkah, so the schach becomes asav hanor. You're not allowed to take down the schach and little sukkahs and use it to make a bonfire out of it. If the sukkahs over, you can make a din. But on sukkahs, there's an issue there. He says, well, the chag sukkahs tas lecha. The chag sukkahs l'Hashem. The pasuk says, the yim the chag sukkahs l'Hashem. So chal shem shemayim l'schach. There is a concept. It's not like hekdesh. So the Rambam writes that din min haTorah applies not only to the schach, it applies to the tefillos also. The daraisi, you can't take down part of the wall and use it for firewood. And the Rosh says that's not true. The Rosh says that that's only a chumim with Rabbanah not to take down the wall. It's been booked or whatever, but in terms of the din deraisa of the Yisr Hanah on the Sukkah, that's only al shame the schach and not al shame the tefillos. And the Rosh says, I'll prove to you that I'm right, says the Rosh, because after all, we don't hold a Rabbi Yosha, we pass in that the Sukkah is only Nikra al Shein, Haschach, the Defanos, and that's part of the Sukkah presents. So just the Metzias, you need the Defanos, the Halachas, you need the Defanos, but the Shein Sukkah is only on the Schach. So how could you, the Rambam, say that the Zeres and Kosam in Akhfer, that Chal Shem Shemaim al Sukkah applies to the Defanos? Anyone knows the famous view of Reb Chaim? The famous view of Reb Chaim, what the Machlokes Rambam the Rosh is. Reb Chaim says, the Rambam is like this, there's a difference between the Chetz of the Sukkah and the Mitzvah Yeshiva of the Sukkah. The Chetz of the Sukkah, so that's only the Schach. So whenever there are dinim, considering the chefs of the sukkah, it has to be from Dovid to within a karka, it has to be in the kapatum, it has to be not mechubla karka. That's only on the schach, that was never said it would be the funnest. But says Reb Chaim, tachos, you need the funnest. Tachos, like a lot of Moshe Mizini, you need shtayim, you need shtayim, you need shtayim, tachos, you have a sukkim, you need the dalim, which learned out from sukkim, a lot of Moshe Mizini, you need the funnest. So you can't be yaitse the mitzvah of sukkah without the funnest. The chefs of sukkah is not. The funnest are not part of the chefs of sukkah. But they are part of the mitzvah yeshiva of the sukkah. It says Reb Chaim, the din that the sukkah becomes also b'hanah, what creates the yisr hanah? Is it the chefs of a sukkah is also b'hanah and sukkah is not? Says Reb Chaim, the Rambam holds that whatever you're using as part of the mitzvah of sukkah gets a shame yisr hanah on it. So comes Reb Chaim and says that since l'maisi you need the funos, so even though the funos are not part of the chefs of sukkah, they are part of the mitzvah of sukkah, so the mitzvah of sukkah creates the yisr hanah. And where's the mokah for the Rambam? How do you say such a thing that vis-a-vis the mitzvah of sukkah, the tefillos are considered to be part of the shem sukkah? That's a Gemara. Exactly, the Gemara says it's a letter of dalet. The Gemara is darshaning the requirement of mechitzas from the word sukkah itself, notwithstanding the fact that sukkah, the Gemara says, beginning with the sukkah, the shem sukkah is only on the tzach, not on the tefillos. So the answer is the two different halachas. The Gemara said, here is the chud, the one sukkah is the chud, the one sukkah is talking about the shem chetzah. That's what are the requirements of the karka, kone, etc. The Gemara said, Hebron is talking about what's necessary to be yotzei the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. The Rambam's chiddush is that the Yisr HaNoah is neveya from the mitzvah yeshiva. It could be the Rosh disagrees with that. It could be the Rosh holds that the Yisr HaNoah is neveya from the Shein Chetz of the sukkah, not from the mitzvah yeshiva. But no matter how you slice it, there's clearly the word sukkah has a double meaning. The word sukkah applies to the Chetz of the sukkah. In fact, the Gemara sukkah, only sukkah, only sukkah, not upon us. The Gemara Sefer Hedda, which is learning dinim from the word sukkah, these are the tefanos, is clearly addressing the issue of the issue of the sukkah. Anyway, we'll stop for now. Hopefully tomorrow I want to start the real sugya, the sugya of the dynamics.